Now's a time when things are shifting. There's gonna be a new world order out there. And we've got to lead it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is End Time Headlines. We welcome you to the broadcast today. It is Thursday, July 7th, and we welcome you live here on Facebook and by the rebroadcast of this for you guys that are joining us on Rumble or YouTube or perhaps from the app or maybe from Apple or Spotify. Again, I'm your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder of End Time Headlines. Today, I was going to expound a little bit on modern day apostles. I wanted to really get into that, but unexpectedly last night here where I live in Georgia, we got hit with some pretty nasty thunderstorms, knocked out our power, so I was not able to completely get that message finished up. So we're going to push that out till tomorrow. But today, I've got something on deck that I want to talk about that I think is going to be a word of equipping. And we want to equip you today. We're going to talk about the blessings and dangers of communion. Now, some of this information, some of you may know, some of you may not know, but that is the intent of our messages today, is to equip the body of Christ. So we're going to talk about communion, what it is, what it is not, and we're going to go back all the way even into the early church and talk about how what they did and how this was practiced and so on and so forth. So we're going to start out. I apologize beforehand. We're not going to pull a lot of these scriptures up, but we're going to read them. The reason why I don't do that is because many times it becomes distracting when we do that. It becomes distracting to do this, and it pulls people away from the attention. So again, we're going to read these to you. So I promise you they're there. So if you have a Bible, you can read along with us live here on Facebook, or if you're watching rebroadcast this, go ahead and get your Bible and we're going to show you these verses. So we're going to start out. It's going to be an interesting way we're going to launch this and start out, and then we're going to go from there. Ready? Psalm chapter 103, verses 2 and 3. Psalm chapter 103, verses 2 and 3. Very interesting scripture here. Listen what it says. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now, the writer here, who is David, tells us to not forget all of the Lord's benefits. Did you know that there is benefits that God has for the believer? Now, I know, listen, there may be individuals that are watching this and listening today and tuning in today, and particular denominations and organizations and sects, S-E-C-T-S, have convinced you that these benefits and these blessings are not for the New Testament believer today. But listen, we're gonna break all this down, and I'm going to show you that there is indeed benefits in the Lord. And the writer says that we are not to forget all of his benefits. Now, listen to this. He says, who is the Lord? He says, the Lord forgives all your iniquities. Come on, you should rejoice over this. That tells me that it doesn't. God is able to forgive you of all your iniquities. Listen, the Bible is full of liars that were converted to the Lord. The Bible is full of thieves that gave their heart to the Lord. The Bible is full of people that denied him, that rejected him, that, come on, Saul of Tarsus caused Christians to blaspheme. He murdered them. He imprisoned them. He persecuted them. But God forgave Saul, and he's able to forgive you as well. And listen to this. Ready? Let's read the rest of the verse, Psalms 103, 2 and 3. Who heals all your diseases. Yes, this preacher believes that the God that we serve is well able to heal you of all your diseases. All, not some, all your diseases. He is able. Come on, somebody say, he is able to heal me of all my diseases. That is in Psalms 102. That is in Psalms 103, 2 and 3. And notice that the forgiveness of iniquities and the healing of our diseases are in the context of benefits of the Lord. And I'm going to take it a step further. Healing was your healing and my healing. And again, this is not, now I'm telling you, some dried up, dead theologian that has rejected the Spirit of God will come along and try to tell you that this does not mean physical healing. Last time I checked, when a doctor diagnoses you with a disease, he is not speaking metaphorically, allegorically, or spiritually, or emotionally. It is a physical disease that afflicts your body. Okay? So at the cross, at Calvary, one of the things that Christ purchased for you and I through what he did at the cross, and we're going to prove all this in scripture today, so just hang with me, is your healing and my healing. In fact, did you know that when you go to the New Testament and you see the word saved, remember this, saved, you see it all through this. All through the Bible, you'll see the word saved. And it's a term that Christians use to be born again. You know, repent and be baptized and be saved from this perverse generation. The word saved here is used, in fact, in the New Testament, it's used 57 times. And in all but five references, so that's 52 references to the word saved, is a Greek word, ready, called sozo, S-O-Z-O, sozo. The word sozo in Greek means to, ready, to save, deliver, protect, and heal. Therefore, watch this. When we see salvation given, it is a complete work of the cross, making someone whole, W-H-O-L-E, meaning that, listen to me, oh, come on, somebody, I'm telling you, you should get excited about this. God did not just save you from hell, save you from eternal damnation, and not just, he didn't just put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, but with it came the whole package that is filled with benefits. Again, from the Greek understanding, it means to save, deliver, protection, and to heal. So when I gave my heart to the Lord, when I got saved on June 2nd of 2000, I came into covenant with God. Not only was my name put in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I was redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, but I also then became an heir to salvation. I became a child of God, and in this there is benefits that the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross through the atonement, paid the price for me to have as a blessing here. No, I'm not. And again, on the live feed, we are saved by grace through faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. I don't know where people, it's like people are hearing completely different things. We are not saved by our own works. I didn't earn my salvation. It was a free gift. Listen to me, clean out your ears. But with the free gift comes the benefits of God, the benefits of what was paid for me at the atonement. Most churches only equate being saved as salvation only, but theologically speaking, there is no distinction between the need of salvation and healing of the body. Oh, I know that's going to ruffle some feathers here today. And people are going to get worked up because I'm toppling traditions of men and things that are being taught. But I'm telling you, you go back and here's the problem. Ready? We read the Bible in this bubble of American westernized interpretation. We don't understand the fact that the New Testament was written in Greek and the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, with the exception of some verses written in Aramaic. So when we read things in the Bible, we get a concept or understanding from a Western perspective, and you cannot do that. There is a lot of stuff that's been westernized and denominationally taught and traditionally taught that are nowhere found in this scripture. And people get mad at me over this. I'm going to say some stuff today that's going to make you mad. Why? Not because it's not in the Bible. It's because you've been traditionally taught this stuff your whole life. And when somebody comes along and gives you the Bible truth on it, it begins to tip over goat and calves. Watch this. The woman with the issue of blood, the Bible says she was made whole. The word here, whole, is in the same context as sozo. Listen, she wasn't just made whole of her infirmity. When she touched the hem of his garment, the picture here is that she was ready, saved, delivered, and healed. Wow. Now you say, well, what's this got to do with communion? Hang on for a minute. We're getting there. Look at this. Romans 10:9-10. Let me read this. Romans 10:9-10. This was written by the Apostle Paul. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be sozo, saved. Well, I don't know about that word sozo. Listen, I had people email me, message me. They wrote me letters and say, you're preaching heresy, and that sounds like New Age and witchcraft and all this other garbage. And it's absolutely ignorant to make some kind of assumption like that. Because again, you go and look up the word saved in Romans 10:9-10. Listen, there's an app on your phone, because most of you guys use a phone. There's an app called the Blue Letter Bible. I challenge you to go to Romans 10:9-10, pull up Romans 10:9, look up the word saved in the Greek concordance there, and you'll discover this word sozo, S-O-Z-O, and look up what it means, and then come talk to me. Again, stop reading from a Western perspective of the Bible. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. That's Romans 10:9-10. Now, let's move on. Ready? Exodus. Let me go to the Old Covenant, Old Testament. Exodus 15:26. The Lord says unto Israel, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes. Look at this. I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Two things. Number one, if you look this up in the Hebrew, you'll discover where it says, I will put none of the diseases upon you which I brought upon the Egyptians. You'll discover it says, I will not permit none of the diseases to come upon you which I permitted to come upon the Egyptians, or I allowed to come upon the Egyptians. Why did God allow these plagues to come upon the Egyptians? Because they were steeped into idolatry, because they would not let God's people go. And it was a form of judgment. It was a form of judgment. And look, and secondly, God reveals to the Israelites that he is the Lord God, our healer. He is the Lord God, our healer. Jehovah Rapha in Hebrew. Let me say that again. He revealed to the Israelites in the Old Testament. He said, I am the Lord. I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals you. In fact, Jehovah or Jehovah Rapha in Hebrew means the Lord, our healer. Here's something interesting. Ready? Look up the word Rapha, R-A-P-H-A, in Hebrew. When you look up the definition of Rapha, it means it alludes to something being stitched that has been torn, or the complete restoration of something that was mended. Oh, come on, somebody. In other words, God is saying, I am the God who stitches back that which was torn, and I am the God who can restore that which was mended. Yeah, listen, and it's in the context of healing. So what he's saying here, translation, yes, you may be sick. You may be afflicted in your body. You may have a diagnosis in your body. You may have a disease in your body that has ridden you and made you ill. But we serve a God who is able, come on, somebody, to stitch you back together, or to restore you and make you whole again. Make you whole again. Remember the daughter of Abraham who had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. He goes into the synagogue and where she was, he touches her and he says, woman, thou art loosed of thy infirmity. And what happened? He undid or unraveled something that the devil had her bond in bondage to for 18 years. So he unraveled the infirmity. He unraveled what the enemy put her in the bondage of infirmity for 18 years. And he, come on, and restored her and made her whole. The woman with the issue of blood. This day you are made whole. Your faith has made you whole. Are you hearing me today? Come on. Matthew 26:26-29. He said, why? I came on here to hear about communion. I didn't come on here to hear all this. Well, listen, if you're that impatient, then you just check on out, because that's how this preacher rolls. I don't just get on here and knock points out, because here's what'll happen. If I don't build a foundation and put the roof on this thing and call it a day, then people will immediately begin to try to refute things that I've said, because we didn't build a foundation to get you from point A to point B. That's why we do this. Matthew 26:26-29. So listen, I'm sorry for those who are so inundated to the TikTok generation that can only withstand 2 minutes of an attention span to be taken. We don't do 2 minute TikToks here. We're preaching and teaching and equipping and encouraging, come on, and informing believers. We are equipping and discipling believers. Matthew 26:26-29. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread. Here we go. He took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take and eat. This is my body. Now, I want to stop here. The Catholicism has come out. They created a doctrine called, and now this is a long word, don't get hung up on this, called transubstantiation. Now you say, what? What does that mean? Listen, the Catholics, they take the interpretation of this, that when you go and take communion of the bread and of the juice, they teach that it's the literal body and the literal blood, which that's not true. It is not literally the body of Christ and literally the blood of Jesus. It's symbolic. It's a commemoration. Ready? Let me read this. So he's taking bread, ready? And he breaks it and he gives it to the disciples and he said, "This is my body." And then he took the cup and he gave thanks and gave it to them saying, "Drink from it, all of you." And it was, in those days, it was one chalice or goblet or whatever it was. It was like one cup and then they passed it around. And listen to what he says. "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Now stop. Why was his blood shed? It answers it right here. Why was the blood of Jesus shed at Calvary? For the remission of your and my sins. Remember, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. This is why when you go back in the old covenant, there was a high priest one time a year. They would take the basin and they would take a lamb, a male lamb that was without blemish. And they would slit the throat of this lamb. The blood would go into the basin. The high priest would put some blood on himself. And then he would go into the Holy of Holies and he would begin to sprinkle the blood on the furniture and make atonement for not only himself, but for the people of Israel. But come on, Jesus Christ, the Bible says, was the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. John was at the bank of Jordan baptizing them for the remission of their sins. And when Jesus showed up, he points to Yeshua or Jesus and said, "Behold, the lamb that takes away the sins of the world." So what am I saying? In the old covenant, the earthly lamb that the blood was shed on without blemish to make remission for the sins of the people was a type and shadow or a picture of what one day would come as the Messiah or Jesus, who is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. How did he do it? Because he who knew no sin became sin, that we may have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. He shed his own blood for the remission of our sins. Don't miss this. It's all going to come into play. So his blood was shed for the remission of our sins. But what about his body that was broken? What was the purpose of his body being broken? Let me read on and we'll explain that. Verse 29. "But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on to this day, when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." This is going to happen again at the marriage supper of the Lamb, which will take place in heaven. And this is a future event. So here's some key points that I want to show you today. The bread represents the body. The wine or the juice represents his blood. The body, listen, the bread represents the body that was broken at Calvary, and the blood and the juice or the wine represents the blood that was shed at Calvary. Two events and two purposes. Ready? Why was his body broken? That's the question. Ready? Isaiah chapter 53. Listen what the prophet said. Isaiah 53:4-5. I'm going to give you a second to turn there if you're following. Isaiah chapter 53:4-5. Listen what the prophet said. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted." Look at verse 5. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. What does it say in your Bible? And by his stripes, we are healed. Now, what does it mean by his stripes? Fun fact, ready? When Jesus was put on trial and went before Pontius Pilate, he eventually was scourged, and they took a whip with a cat of nine tails and they scourged him. This was a Roman scourging. They did this with prisoners before they would be crucified. And in that, Christ took 39 minus, the Bible says 40 minus one, where we get 39. That's where we get 39 stripes. He took those stripes on his back, where come on, y'all seen The Passion of the Christ? That, by the way, that movie was absolutely accurate in its portrayal of the Roman scourging, where they would take these whips and they hit him, and then they would take these types of whips that had that those shards of bone on them and these metal things, and it would go into the flesh, and when they pulled it away, it would rip the flesh off. There was 39 stripes. His back was laid wide open. I'm talking about, it was gruesome, it was graphic, it was violent. And he, by his, why did he take these? The prophet says, by his stripes, we are healed. Now, I want to show you something here. This is interesting. This, when I first got this revelation, I'm telling you, it was a game changer for my walk with God and what in my faith in believing God in the area of healing. Notice that Isaiah says that by his stripes, we are healed. Isaiah was speaking in regards to an event that had not yet happened, that was a future event. He was foretelling of the Messiah. He was foretelling of Jesus and what he would go through. Okay? Then you get to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. And Peter says, he references Christ at the cross of Calvary and what he did for us as believers. Listen to his verbiage and what he wrote in his epistle. Ready? Speaking of Christ, who himself bore our sins in his own body. You know what? I wasn't going to do a screenshot. Let me do this. Because I wasn't going to do this because it's distracting, but you've got to see this. I'm just going to give you a live shot at my notes here. I want you to home in right here on your screen. Look at the verbiage that Isaiah spoke. Now remember, Isaiah is speaking of a future event, and he says, by his stripes, we are healed. Y'all get that? But then you go down here to 1 Peter 2:24, which is the New Testament, New Covenant, after the resurrection of Christ. And Peter tells us in his epistle, speaking of Jesus right here, who himself, look at this, bore our sins in his own body on the tree. That's where we get the cross. That, look at this, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. Look at this, by whose stripes you were healed. Now, this is not a typo in your Bible. This is not a contradiction in your Bible. Peter is speaking past tense. Oh, come on. You got to get this revelation, guys. You got to get this revelation. Isaiah spoke future tense. Peter speaks past tense. Let me tell you why and what he's saying here. Peter is saying that Christ took the stripes on his back, and he points back to Calvary. That he says, by his stripes, you were healed. He already paid the price for you. Listen, he already paid the price for your healing. He paid the price for your redemption and your salvation. Now, let me go back to the scriptures here. Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Why was his blood shed? For the redemption of our sins. Why was his body broken? For our healing. Y'all getting this? Now let's go. So what am I talking about today? I'm talking about the blessing and the danger of communion. The blessing of communion is, listen, this is not a magical pill. I'm not, because I see people all the time bashing people that teach on communion. Well, that preacher is up there saying that if I take communion, it's a magic pill that's going to get me healed. No, I didn't say that. I'm telling you that when we commemorate the body that was broken and the blood that was shed, the Bible says when we do this, we do it into remembrance of what he did for us at Calvary. This is not a magic pill. But I'm going to tell you this, there's nothing magical about communion. Listen, there's not nothing magical about a cloth, and there's not anything magical about a shadow. You say, what do you mean a cloth and a shadow? Well, your Bible, the same Bible that you're reading and I'm reading, says that the apostles took handkerchiefs and articles of clothing from their bodies, and they would distribute them out. And because of the anointing that was flowing out of them, they were seeing people healed and delivered of evil spirits. Now, of course, a lot of prosperity preachers have come along and they've contorted this and they've twisted this and they've manipulated this, and they try to tell you that if you sow $1,000 seed, then they're going to give you a healing cloth, or they're going to give you some holy water, or they're going to give you something goofy that you're going to take and that you're going to just see all these things happen. But again, nowhere in the scriptures were they selling this. Come on, somebody. We're not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. The Bible says that they took handkerchiefs and articles of clothing and they distributed them out, and that through that, there was evil spirits expelled from people. You can try to erase that. You can try to ignore that, and you can try to rip that out of your Bible, but it's in your Bible. But where it's become twisted and contorted is when preachers try to sell you a handkerchief that they went and bought at the Dollar General store and try to sell it to you for $1,000 seed offering and give you all these false promises that this and this and this is going to happen in your life, when, again, they are making a merchandise of the gospel. That's not what we're talking about. Peter, the Bible says that his shadow, people were being healed from Peter's shadow. Now, what is that? Again, it's because of the presence of God that was on Peter's life. Well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, then just rip it out of your Bible, because it's in there. I'm trying to tell you today that communion is not a magic pill. If you think you're just going to pop in a communion wafer and drink some juice and God is going to completely heal you of your diseases because it's a magic pill, that's not how it works. And that's not what we're presenting here today. But when you get the revelation of what he did at Calvary and why he did it, and what it was purchased for, and as David said, to not forget the benefits of the Lord. So watch this, hang with me. So ready? Say this, say there's a blessing with communion. Yes, there's a blessing with communion. And by the way, this is not a Catholic thing. Catholics did not invent the communion. This communion was going, they did this in the early church. They went from house to house breaking bread. That doesn't mean they were going house to house having spaghetti dinners and potlucks. They were practicing communion. Now let's go to the danger of communion. Oh, come on. Nobody preaches on this today. When was the last time you heard this preach behind the pulpit? Ready? 1 Corinthians 11, 17 through 26. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church of Corinth regarding communion. Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. Ouch. That kind of stung a little bit, Paul. Well, let's read on here. He said, for first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there is divisions among you. Wow. Listen, Paul would have went into some of our church today and he would have been saying the same thing. And in part, I believe it. This is what your Bible says. 1 Corinthians 11, 19. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, is it not to eat the Lord's Supper? Let me say that again. When you come together in one place, is it not to eat the Lord's Supper? Again, this practice was done in homes, temples, the synagogues, today, the brick and mortar churches, your home group. This is something, and we're going to get more into that in just a minute. Watch this. For listen to this, verse 21, for in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. And one is hungry and another is drunk. Did you hear that? One is hungry and another is drunk. Verse 22, what? Exclamation mark. What? Do you not have your own houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. I want to read to you some of the notes that I wrote down. The early church had no church buildings. It was their custom to gather on Sunday evenings in their homes of the wealthier members to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Little known fact here. Their worship time was preceded by potluck dinners, or what we would call potluck suppers, called the agape or love feast. You can find this in Jude. Jude talks about this. The problem in the church of Corinth was that the wealthy members got there first with their sumptuous dinners and they gorged themselves. Come on, I'm giving you some historical background here for context. They gorged themselves, and when the slaves and other poor people had arrived, the food was gone. Even worse, a few of the wealthy filled their wine glasses to the point of drunkenness, so that they were getting drunk. As a result, they completely missed the entire significance and purpose of the Lord's Supper. Some of the members were suffering severe discipline from the Lord for their irreverence, excuse me, and the institution of the Lord's Supper. Now, watch this. Now let's read on. Let me go to, this is 1 Corinthians, verse 11, 23. Ready? For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, quote, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. And do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Listen to this, verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Did you hear that? This is not a one-time thing, and you can only do this on Sundays with your church. No, you, as often as you do this in remembrance of what he has done for you. Therefore, listen to this, verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord, here it is, in an unworthy manner. Are you hearing me? Will be guilty of the blood, or I'm sorry, the body and the blood of the Lord. Did you know that's in your Bible? If you partake of communion in an unworthy manner, you are guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. What's that mean? Well, read on. This is, again, this is in 1 Corinthians. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 29, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks, yes, this is in your Bible, judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Stop. Time out. Whoa. Now, what does it mean eating and drinking of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner? Listen, I've been to church services just visiting, a fly on the wall, if you would, a member just in the congregation, not a member of the church, but someone who is visiting the church, and they would partake of communion. They would pass out the elements, come on, the bread and the juice. There would never be anyone from the pulpit expound on communion. They would never give the understanding of communion. They'd never talk about why we're doing this. And worse than that, they would never give anybody, listen, they would pass out these elements, and while they passed them out, there would be a worship team up there singing a song. And when you got the elements, you didn't even wait for one another. You just opened it up and you took it. I looked around and people were just taking the bread and they were drinking the juice, and there nobody waited on one another. There was no self-examination. Are you hearing me? No self-examination, no self-reflection. And they were just popping this like it was nothing. People were talking, having a good time. People were on their phones, looking at Twitter, looking at TikTok, looking at Instagram while they're chewing on their cracker and scrolling through and reading this. And it's like, yawn, yeah, boring, going through the ritual, going through the routine. And I could tell by the way that they were acting and the way they carried this out that this was normal to them. And I was cringing. And I was grieved. Why? Because let me just preach here a little bit, and I'm probably going to make you mad, but that's okay because it's nothing new here. Listen, if you come into the congregation or the gathering, whether it's in a church setting, whether it's in a home setting, whether it's in a cell group setting, or whatever the case, wherever you gather and you partake of communion and you get people coming in and they have actively, listen, they are willfully living in sin. They're fornicating. They're committing adultery. They're drunkards. They're sodomites. They're doing things that God called an abomination. And they are living an unrepentant lifestyle. I would take it a step further. They don't even have a relationship with Jesus. But hey, let's just give them the bread. Let's just give them the juice. And they partake of that. Friend, you are eating judgment to yourself because you're doing so in an unworthy manner. And that's why Paul said, let each man examine himself before taking of the bread and of the cup. Oh, you want me to go on? Let me read this. Verse 30. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Now, that word sleep in your Americanized King James 1611 uses the word sleep, but it's a Greek idiom meaning dead. Let me read it again. For this reason, many are weak. And by the way, the word weak here means feeble, impotent, sick, and without strength. There are many in the congregation that are feeble, impotent, sick, and without strength among you. And he says, and there's many that are dead. That's in your Bible. Well, I don't know if I believe that. Again, it's in your Bible. Paul talked about that. Verse 32, But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world. Guys, can I throw something out here that's going to be very controversial? Why is there so many sick people in the church if we believe that God is the healer and that God purchased our healing at Calvary? Why is the church so full of so many sick people? Could it be? And I'm not, listen, I don't have all the answers for that, but can I give just one angle of possibility here? Could it be possible that unknowingly, we've got people across America and across the world that are just partaking of the Lord's Supper in unworthy manners, and they're eating judgment to themselves, and they're making themselves sick. Paul said people are dying, people are weak, people are feeble. Things that make you go, Listen, verse 33, therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Wait for one another. So listen, let me tell you some stuff. Let me tell you some stuff that that my family and I do. First of all, we don't just do communion at church or in the corporate gathering. We do communion as a family here. And I've taught my kids this. Before they take that cup, before they take that bread, I tell them, we're going to take a time to reflect today. And we're going to examine ourselves. And if you have done anything that you know is sin, that you know has grieved the Holy Spirit, if you have any sins, if you are willfully partaking of sin, I'm telling you, this is how we roll. Paul said, wait for one another. So what we do is we take a few moments and we begin to pray. And that's what we're going to do right here. And we're just teaching you some things today. Next time you do communion, you got to wait for each other to have a time of prayer and just lead them in prayer. Something like this: Father, we come to you today in this commemoration and remembrance of your body that was broken for our healing and your blood that was shed for the redemption of our sins. But Lord, we come today and we ask that if there be any sin in our lives, if there be anything that separates us from your presence, anything that grieves, quenches, or vexes the Holy Spirit today, if we've said anything, if our words, our actions, our deeds, or our conduct has grieved you today, we ask that you would forgive us today and that you would cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Lord, that you would wash us today and that you would forgive us today. And I'm talking about if you have unforgiveness, jealousy, envy, hatred, covetousness, fear, worry, unbelief, sin, all these things, guys, we have got to lay it down and ask God to examine our hearts and lay these things down. Well, listen, two things. One is if we don't do this, we could actually be eating and drinking judgment unto ourselves. And two, if there is a blessing in communion through what Christ purchased for us at atonement, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be doing anything that is going to hinder God from working in my life and bringing that which I'm believing him for. Are you getting what I'm saying today? So again, and then after we partake of communion, we begin to thank the Lord for what he did at Calvary. We thank you. We thank him for his blood that was shed for our redemption. And we thank him for him partaking of the stripes that he did for our healing. and we thank you and we receive it by faith and walk it out in Jesus' name. So listen, I hope this has been an equipping message today. I know it's a little different. I know that it's not Bible prophecy per se or a prophetic update per se, but I'm telling you, again, we don't just inform here. We try to equip, we try to exhort, and we try to edify the believers in Christ. And if this can help you in any way, then listen, just receive this word today. Be blessed by this word today. And listen, let me just pray. I want to pray a quick prayer over all of us today. If there's anyone here today that is sick in their bodies, Lord, I just come to you today and I pray for every individual under the sound of my voice, including myself, my own family. Lord, those of us who have any kind of afflictions, infirmities, diseases, or a diagnosis, Lord, we thank you today that by your stripes we were and are healed. And Lord, by faith, we receive that today. Father, we thank you for what you did for us, Lord, today. And we walk that faith out today. And we thank you, Lord, that the Bible says that he himself bore our sicknesses and took our infirmities. And we thank you that you bore our sicknesses and you took our infirmities so that by your stripes, we could be healed. We thank you that you revealed yourself as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, our healer. I thank you, Father, that you're well able to heal today. And we give you glory and honor. We receive it today in our bodies and we walk it out by faith today in Jesus' name. Come on. And everybody said amen and amen. Listen, guys, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. We want to encourage you today, get our free app. If you've not downloaded our free app, it's available on Apple, it's available on Android. Get it today so that you can be notified of every headline and every podcast that we do. It'll come right there in your inbox and you'll be notified of that when it comes and when it is released. And as always, guys, we want to give you an opportunity. If this ministry is a continual source of blessing in your life, information, exhorting, equipping, edifying on a day-to-day and week-to-week basis, then we want to give you the opportunity to sow back into this ministry, support this ministry, partner with this ministry, whatever the Holy Spirit puts on your heart. Remember, we just talked about this. What was this? Yesterday or whenever we talked about this, we talked about how the Lord loves a cheerful giver. He doesn't want us to give grudgingly or out of obligation. He wants us to give out of sincerity and out of love. So we want to give you that opportunity. Pray about it. Ask the Holy Spirit what he would have you to do today. We don't manipulate people today. We don't do any of that nonsense. We preach against it. So again, we appreciate your giving and your partnership to this ministry. There's two different ways you can give. One is through the app right there at the bottom. Click on donate, or you can go to the main website at endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, or you can give by check or money order, and you can make that out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. And again, that's Monroe, Georgia 30655. As always, guys, we appreciate your coming on to the broadcast today, being a part of this. Remember, don't forget to share. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to hit the push notifications and bells if you're watching by YouTube, Rumble, and whatever those platforms are that you can do that. We're going to sign off for today, guys, but we'll be back on tomorrow for Friday to close out, and it'll be our last podcast for probably a week because we will be out of town spending time with our family. So, guys, we have over 1,000 messages archived on our YouTube channel, so you can go back, be blessed by some of our older messages, and just sharpen that sword. The Bible says iron sharpens iron, and just sharpen that sword and edify yourself. So we hope that you'll be blessed through that. So until tomorrow, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you in Jesus' name. God bless you guys. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.